Open your Bibles with me this morning to the 45th chapter of the book of Genesis. Genesis chapter 45, we'll be reading verses 1 through 8 in just a few moments. It has been a couple of weeks since we have been into this series that I'm continuing with today. And actually, next Sunday, I'm going to conclude this series. Sunday after that, we'll move to the New Testament. But today, we are looking at an event in the life of Joseph and his brothers and his family that draws for us a very, very important and practical picture that we need to know. Not only do we need to know this, we need to understand it, and we need to practice what we see coming out of Joseph's activity today. And that is that thing called forgiveness. Now, forgiveness is part of our Christian vernacular. Without forgiveness, we have no relationship with Christ. Forgiveness is where our new life begins. When Jesus said to Nicodemus that night, that's recorded in the third chapter of John, that you must be born again, he was conveying to him the concept of an atoned life that has been renewed with God and begins over again, and it all starts at the point of God forgiving us of our sin, for us availing ourselves of the path to His forgiveness that He gave us through His Son, Jesus. Now, earlier in this service, I read an excerpt from the Sermon on the Mount, just a couple of verses, that immediately followed what we call the Lord's Prayer. And it should be noted that the only section of the Lord's Prayer that Jesus commented on after He gave us the model prayer was the part on forgiveness. And He said, if you are going to receive the forgiveness that God has for you, you will be a forgiving person. And what we see in the passage today, the example we see in the life of Joseph, is that he is a forgiving person. And for all of us, if we are going to exist in this world, we must be forgiven and we must be forgiving. Both forgiven by God and forgiven by one another, and we must be forgiving to those around us. Because all of us have wronged people and all of us have been wronged. And it is incumbent upon us for us to see and to understand what Joseph went through as we see the forgiveness that he offers to his brothers manifested. Now, let me point out that this is not the point at which Joseph forgives his brothers. He has already forgiven them. Forgiveness has come into his life a long time before this episode, but now we see the manifestation of his forgiveness as he explains it. Now, let me bring you up to date if you're not familiar with the story. Joseph, as a teenage boy, had 10 older brothers. And one day he went out to his brothers who were taking care of the sheep. They gathered him up, and like big brothers will do, they sold him into slavery. Sold him, and he ended up in Egypt in slavery. And as he was in slavery all these years, he eventually, over time, got into the house of Pharaoh because he interpreted a dream that Pharaoh had. He was taken out of prison, and he was elevated to the second most powerful position in all of the nation of Egypt. And at this point in history, Egypt was a world power. And now Joseph is the number two man, subject only to Pharaoh himself. Now, since the time he had been sold into slavery, a long time has gone by. This has been somewhere around 25 to 30 years has unfolded. A famine has come upon the land. Joseph is in charge of all of the wealth of Egypt, the agricultural wealth, and he is also increasing the wealth of Egypt in his under his direction. And during this time, Egypt and all of what we call the Middle East is in famine. The famine's been going on for 2 to 3 years. And his brothers show up one day. And since Joseph is the man in charge of the selling of goods to both Egyptians and to foreigners, here's this group of Hebrews. They come up, and they are seeking to buy food so they could avoid the starvation back home. And Joseph immediately recognizes them. They do not recognize him. They think Joseph has died. They don't think he exists anymore. And so he recognizes them. And he starts to deal with them. And he deals with them fairly harshly. And over time, what he's actually doing is testing them to see how they're going to treat the younger brother that they now have. Now, Joseph has a little brother. He's a full brother. His name is Benjamin. He's the youngest, and he is his father's favorite. In exactly the same position Joseph was some 25 to 30 years before this, when he was sold into slavery by his brothers. Now, these 10 brothers who sold him into slavery show up, and he sends them back to bring Benjamin to him. And over a series of events, and I won't go through all the details because of time, what we see is he entraps them into the concept, into the belief that Benjamin is going to be his slave in Egypt for the rest of his life. Now, his brother Judah comes to him, and he says to him, he has a private audience with Joseph, and he says to him, and he offers himself as a substitute for Benjamin. He tells him, my father's heart will be broken. He is an old man, and he will die when he gets the news that his beloved son Benjamin will never come home. You take me, put me in his place as your slave the rest of my life, but let my brother go home. Now, Judah was the brother that came up with the idea of selling him into slavery. If you go back and look earlier in the story, it was Judah said, let's sell him. I mean, there's no point. We can't profit here. We can't get a little walking around money for our brother. And so that's what they did. Now we see the evolution in Judah's life, the growth of love in Judah's life, to where at one point in his life, he sold his younger brother into slavery. Now, as a mature man, he comes and he says, let me take his place. Let me be the substitute and receive his punishment. And at that point, we pick up the narrative today. And what we see unfold as Joseph reveals himself to his brothers is really the art of forgiveness. And it is incumbent upon us, it is important for all of us to look at what Joseph went through and what was in his life that not only allowed him to forgive, but brought him to the point of being able to forgive, and how important that is for all of us. First and foremost, all of us need to receive and accept the forgiveness that God offers to us through His Son, Jesus Christ. There is no doubt that if you know another human being in this world, that you need to be forgiven by them to some level, to some degree, from time to time. But it is absolutely essential that each of us learns the art of forgiveness so that we can forgive those who have sinned or wronged us. Let's read about this together now in Genesis 45, 1 through 8. Joseph could no longer keep his composure in front of all of his attendants, and so he called out, "Send everyone away from me." No one was with him but when he revealed his identity to his brothers. But he wept so loudly that the Egyptians heard it, and also Pharaoh's household heard it. Joseph said to his brothers, "I am Joseph. Is my father still living?" But they could not answer him because they were terrified in his presence. Then Joseph said to his brothers, "Please come near to me." And they came near. "And I am Joseph, your brother," he said, "the one you sold into Egypt. And now don't be worried or angry with yourselves for selling me here, because God sent me ahead of you to preserve life. For the famine has been in this land these 2 years, and there will be 5 more years without plowing or harvesting. God sent me ahead of you to establish you as a remnant within the land and to keep you alive by a great deliverance. Therefore, it is not you who sent me here, but God. He has made me a father to Pharaoh and lord over his entire household and ruler over the land of Egypt." Now, the encounter and the conversation goes on, but let's take a moment and let's look at what was going on and what had gone on in Joseph's life that allowed him this point of forgiveness. First of all, we see in the reality of forgiveness is that forgiveness is a very personal thing. Look here at verse 1. And Joseph could no longer keep his composure in front of all of his attendants. And so he called out, "Send everyone away from me." And no one was with him when he revealed his identity to his brothers. Now, this exhibits for us the personal reality of this act of forgiveness. Now, let me remind you, as I mentioned in the introduction a moment ago, that forgiveness was already in Joseph's heart. He is not forgiving his brothers at this point in the first verse of chapter 45. He has already forgiven them. I am absolutely confident that before his brothers showed up some months prior to this, there in the land of Egypt, he had already worked through within his heart his desire and the need and the reality of forgiveness. Now, the reason he gives them a hard time, the reason he puts them through these trials is not an act of vengeance or to see if they are worthy of forgiveness. It's to see if they're trustworthy. I mean, the last time he saw these guys, they were selling their little brother into slavery. And I really, when I was a little kid, this frightened me because I was afraid my brother would read this. And if he could have gotten 20 pieces of silver, I'd have gone to Oklahoma or someplace like that. But the reality was they had not been trustworthy when he was a teenager. Now, as mature men, some 25 to 30 years later, are they trustworthy? And so we set up this series of circumstance to see how they would treat his younger brother, Benjamin. And when Judah comes to him, and the same Judah whose voice he remembers saying, "Let's sell him to the slave traders so they can take him down to Egypt and they can take care of him," he remembers that voice, and now this same voice says to him, "Let me be your slave. Let me be a substitute for my brother." And at that point, he expresses the personal nature of forgiveness. He sends his Egyptian entourage away. He sends his guards away. He sends the other people who are around him. He sends the household of Pharaoh away. And he says, "I want to be with these men alone." And he sends them out. "Give me the room," he says. And since he's the boss, they give him the room. And he is there alone with his 10 brothers. And he is having a very personal conversation. Understand, forgiveness is personal. One of the struggles we've had really in the Christian reality for the last 2,000 years is to come and to explain clearly the personal nature of forgiveness. We often think that forgiveness from God's perspective is sort of a generic thing. I don't know how many times I have been asked, "Well, can this group of people go to heaven?" And they'll name a Christian denomination, or they'll name another religion, or they'll do this and they'll do that, or they'll say this. And the question is, will this group of people go to heaven? Well, groups of people don't go to heaven. Individuals go to heaven. Individuals find salvation. Our salvation is a very personal thing. I don't mean to offend anyone here, but Southern Baptists don't go to heaven. Not because they're Southern Baptist. We go to heaven because we have a relationship with Christ. We go to heaven because we have individual relationships with Him. This is a personal reality. No one decided for you, if you bear the name of Christ, no one decided for you that you were going to be a Christian. My parents did not decide for me when I was a small boy that I was going to be a Christian. Now they decided whether I was going to go to church or not. And they decided whether I was going to go to Sunday school and vacation Bible school and all the other things that church kids did when I was little. My parents decided that. But they could not decide for me that I was going to open my heart and receive Christ as my Lord and Savior. That was a personal decision that only I can make. It is a personal decision that only you can make. Your parents could not decide for you. You cannot decide for your children or your siblings. You cannot apply peer pressure to your closest friends and make them believers in Christ. It is personal. And you have to make those decisions and make those choices for yourself. Now, you can be influenced, but it is a very personal decision. And so it is with forgiveness that we offer. We receive it personally, but we also give it personally. If you have ever been wronged in your life, and you have been, if another human being has ever sinned against you, and they have, it is incumbent upon you to be forgiving. Remember, I read earlier from the Sermon on the Mount that Jesus says, if you are going to receive this forgiveness from God, you will be a forgiving person. You will offer forgiveness. You will have this personal thing within you where you personally will forgive them. You see, and I am confident that Joseph had forgiven his brothers way before he ever saw them again. Well before Judah expressed the growth of love in his life from an angry young man to a mature, loving man who was willing to give himself up for his brother. He had already forgiven him. He had already made that personal decision. He had come to that place in his life. But you see, we have to do that. Let me tell you, as a believer in Christ, it is important that you learn how to forgive and that you exercise the authority of forgiveness. Now, it is a very easy thing for me to stand up here and say that. It is a very easy thing for me to talk about, to describe the nature of forgiveness and to look down, you know, from on high from the pulpit and look down and say, you people need to be forgiving. It's quite another thing for me to be forgiving. It's for me to exercise these things we talk about. Forgiveness is hard. Do you think it was easy for God to pay a price so that he could make a way of atonement and redemption for us? No. The advent of Jesus wasn't easy. The sacrifice of Christ wasn't easy. The cross and the scourging and the tomb wasn't easy. But God did that. Why? Because he chose to love us. He chose to be forgiving. And he chose to make a way by which we could receive the forgiveness that he offers to all of us. And he does that personally. Doesn't do it generically. He does it to us personally. And we must learn to forgive. If you have unforgiveness in your life, you know who you're hurting. You're not hurting the person you haven't forgiven. Oh, you'd like to hurt them. You'd like to get even. You pray for leprosy. You ask for these things to fall upon them. Yes. But that's not hurting them. Unforgiveness hurts the unforgiver. It hurts us. And forgiveness is a hard thing to do. But just because it's hard doesn't mean it's impossible. And it doesn't mean that it's healthy. It is incumbent upon us that we forgive those who wrong us because we need to get rid of the burden. We need to get rid of the anger. We need to get rid of the frustration. We need to get rid of the blame that it's their fault that these things happened. Now, it may be their fault. You may be accurate, but it is not healthy for us physically, emotionally, or spiritually to hold on to the unforgiveness. But forgiveness is hard to do. Why? Because sometimes we like to be angry. Sometimes we like to imagine what it would be like to get even. Sometimes we're even motivated to try to get even. None of that accomplishes what God is teaching us here. None of us follows this example of the forgiveness that we see here in Joseph's life. And it builds the unhealthiness. What would Joseph have been like had he held on to his anger and bitterness? He had every right to be angry at his brothers. He had every right to be angry with all of those around him because he shouldn't have been sold into slavery. And once he got sold into slavery, he shouldn't have been in prison. And he was in an Egyptian prison for several years unjustly. The Bible doesn't tell us, but I hope I get to find out in heaven whatever happened to Potiphar's wife. That's just got to be interesting when she heard that he was now the number two man and she had lied about him earlier. But maybe we'll find that out someday, but not today. The reality is that it's incumbent upon us to forgive. And we can only forgive because God has forgiven us. Well, I just can't forgive them. Well, maybe not within ourselves, but under the authority and the power and the grace of God, forgiveness can come. And we're going to see how that will happen in just a moment. Another thing about forgiveness, we're not going to spend a lot of time on this, is because forgiveness is an emotional experience. Look at verse 2. But he wept so loudly that the Egyptians heard it, and also Pharaoh's household heard it. His emotions just welled up. Now, those of us guys who grew up under the tutelage of John Wayne, we know that we don't show emotion. Somebody shoots us, we just go, shouldn't have done that. And then you move on. I mean, that's the way my generation of men were raised. But we have to understand that we are emotional beings. God built emotions into us. Emotions are not bad. They are a reality. Now, we need to make sure we keep them in their place. We need to understand what our emotions are within us. But the truth of the matter is, whenever we go through an experience of forgiveness, whether we are being forgiven or whether we are forgiving, emotions will rise. Here we see it wells up so powerfully within Joseph that he just explodes. He's loud. He moans. He mourns. He screams out. He has these things. And you know, all of his entourage, his Egyptian people who are with him, they're all outside the room and they're going, what are they talking about in there? Of course, now he's speaking Hebrew. Before, he's been speaking Egyptian. Now he speaks to Hebrew, and they're going, this guy speaks Hebrew. This was brothers are going, saying, oh, you're our brother, the one we sold into slavery. That ain't looking real good for right now. But you see, his emotions just can't be contained. Now, up to this point, every time he encounters his brothers, he contains his emotions. Sometimes he even goes to another room, but he contains his emotions. But now when he is about to express and to deliver for them who he really is and the depth of the forgiveness that he is giving to them, it just wells out. We need to understand that we are emotional. God made us that way. I do not know how many times I have seen people come to Christ and come to understand the magnitude of the forgiveness that God gives us in his Son. And I've seen tears flow. I've seen big, manly men weep at the foot of the cross. It's important for us to understand it's an emotional moment. And here also, when we express forgiveness to someone else, when that forgiveness is understood and expressed, it's an emotional expression that comes from us. And it cannot be any other way. People hug one another. People weep. People express all sorts of things in these moments. When true forgiveness comes from the heart of one person and is extended to another, and another person is forgiven and receives and understands that forgiveness, it's a powerful thing, and emotions will come. But those emotions will never be expressed, and the forgiveness will never be extended unless we understand, as Joseph understood, that forgiveness comes when we recognize God's activity in and around us. Look at verse 5. Joseph speaking to his brothers. And now, don't be worried or angry with yourselves for selling me here, because God sent me ahead of you to preserve life. And he goes on with a more lengthy discourse on what God did and how God did it. He says, but God was in this. Now, he is not telling his brothers, it's okay that you sold me into slavery. He's not telling his brothers, it was okay that you went back and lied to Dad and made him think I was dead and caused him to go through a time of mourning and even depression. He's not saying that what he went through in being jailed under the lies of Potiphar's wife, that was okay. He's not saying these actions are all right. He's not saying that you did well by doing this. What he is saying is that God is active. Even in someone else's wrong, God is active. And Joseph was mature enough. He had enough character. He was a godly enough man that he recognized the active hand of God even under the most decadent of circumstance. We run into situations regularly that the only being in all of existence that can bring anything good out of a horrible event is God Himself. It is not that God does this. It is that God uses human imperfections to bring forth His glory. That's the way the Father works. And here Joseph has seen the hand of God, even in the sin of his brothers and in the torture he went through at the hand of his brothers. He recognized that and he saw the hand of God. And when we can see the hand of God working in our lives, even when it's difficult, even when it's not fair, even when that person has wronged us, if we can see and sense the hand of God in that on any level, forgiveness is on its way. And we cannot forgive without it. If we cannot see how God uses our circumstance, good, bad, or indifferent, we will never be able to come to the point to where we can truly forgive and say, to God be the glory, because He has proven who He is. God showed Joseph who God was through all of this. And Joseph came out as a forgiving man. And that is available to you and me. We must look and see and understand and perceive God's hand in the work around us. So now we come to consider these things. We come to look at the idea of forgiveness and how God first drew us the picture of forgiveness as He has sent His Son to be the agent and the avenue of forgiveness for us in our lives. We must look at that first of all. And then second, we must look and see about the forgiveness to those around us. First and foremost, and above all else, if you have never availed yourself of the forgiveness that God offers you through the life, the death, and the resurrection of His Son, then let me encourage you to consider Him today. Think about Jesus. Let God reveal that truth to you and come to faith in Him. And if you have accepted Christ, if you bear the name of Christ, let me encourage you to open your spirit to the Spirit of God and let Him speak to you. Let Him show you what you need to do in order to be a more forgiving person and to enjoy the great celebration that forgiveness brings into our lives.